Before we left for Germany, I had this verse that we've been looking at, and I'd like to go back to it again. It's in Psalms 40 and 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my going. So we had a couple messages that went over some of these things. But I'd like to start today with the next verse. He didn't just bring me out and set my feet and establish my goings. He did something else. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I was thinking about this. He put a new song. Something different than I had been singing before he pulled me out of the miry clay. I was thinking of the songs that the world has to offer. Many times it's a testimony of how their life is going. And you know what? We can tell how much it relates to others around them by if that song goes to number one on the chart. You know what? There's a whole lot of folks that can relate to that song and the life that it was portraying. I was thinking about country music and how those songs can go to the top. How can it do that? You know, when a song that's talking so much about losing things, how can that become so popular? You know what? There's a whole lot of folks that relate to that kind of thing in the world around. But I was thinking about for us, you know, this new song that he put in our mouth, it was after he brought us up out of the miry clay, out of the pit. And then established my goings. I've got a stable environment around me now. Stability in my life. He set my feet on a rock. Something that is not one day it's there, next day it moves around. I remember when we put our driveway in, sometimes all you have to do is just scrape the surface off, put rocks on it, and everything is good. We did that. We had a grader come in, scrape off some. We put gravel on it. And a little while later, I would be driving, and in a certain place, maybe for 100 feet, when you drove across it, it was like you were on a foam rubber bed. The ground would move under. You could almost see it move behind you after you've left it. It was you wouldn't feel it when you're walking, but when you drove over it, it would give and then come back again. And I thought, well, you know, this isn't going to work. So I had to call in a company and take with a bulldozer. There was just something about, I don't know if there was a spring there or something, but they had to dig down farther till they could get to something solid and then pour in a different kind of gravel to be able to take care of that problem. You know, we can have problems in our life and we try to live with it. But what we can do is go in and just dig down the Lord. You know, we heard in Sunday school this morning, a lot of times I'll try to fix it myself. I know I got a problem and I know it needs to be fixed, a change about who I am. And so I determine, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take care of this change. I'm not sure what the Lord is pleased to have happen anyhow, because I can come out on the other side and say I was able to stop the problem that I had. Instead, I think what he wants me to realize is just get your feet on the rock. Get a stable surroundings around you. And he's able to help us. Singing of a verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, here's what happens for us. If any man be in Christ, he'd be a new creature. You know, this new creature is going to have a new song. Praise to the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So with that new song, I've been thinking this morning about some songs. And I'd like for us to sing some of them as we go through this. Because you know what? If you look back to when you were in the world and the songs that you enjoyed singing, it sometimes could relate to the life that you were, or the thoughts that you were thinking or whatever. Now we're a new creature. He puts a new song in our mouth. Here's one of the songs. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which for long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. What do you think the title of that song is? I think it must be "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." I don't know how many times we say it, but you know what that says? All these changes that came about in my life, I want to repeat again. It happened because Jesus came into my life. So I think it meshes with the Sunday school lesson this morning. That you know what? Whenever I need to make a change, I go back to the source. And at the end of it, I go back to the source with thanksgiving for the change that he has brought in my life. So I think it's very valuable for us. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. There's going to be a new song. We have so many songs in our songbook. I'd like to look at one of them. Because you know what? These are testimonies of people that have been taken up out of the miry clay. Their feet have been put on a rock. Their goings have been established. And now they have a song to share with us. I would like for us to look at song number 64. This person had a song. I'd like to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing. Such love and peace abound. Jesus, our friend and redeemer. Jesus, our wonderful light. Saved by thy grace, we're forever singing the blood that makes us wide. Salvation is a perfect plan. It heals the saddest one who seeks the Father's boundless grace through his beloved Son. Jesus, our friend and redeemer. Jesus, our wonderful light. Saved by thy grace, we're forever singing the blood that makes us white. Salvation, oh, that word so great, it fills my heart with joy. To me, it is a rich estate. No foe can e'er destroy. Jesus, our friend and redeemer. Jesus, our wonderful light. Saved by thy grace, we're forever singing the blood that makes us white. I'd like to look at a verse in Isaiah, 12th chapter, and the second verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call on his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. That's that song. This is what the Lord has done for me in the past. We also have another song, number 70. You know that we have a lot of songs about joy. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water. Does that mean that we have no trouble? I have no trouble in my life. There's just joy and happiness in my life. You know what? In the middle of our trouble, we can have joy because the Lord is there. This verse, first verse says, I will sing hallelujah, for there's joy in the Lord. And he fills my heart with rapture as I rest on his word. You know that can happen while I have troubles all around me. It's because if I went back to this verse that we started with, he pulled me up out of some miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. And he established my goings. He settled me. And then he gave me a song. And this one says, I will trust in his promise. I will shout, I am free. In my blessed loving Savior, I have sweet victory. There is joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. You know what? In our troubles that we go through today, this verse in Psalms 40 still applies to us. And it doesn't just apply because the day that I got saved, he took me up out of the miry clay. You know what? He can lift our feet out of some things today that want to get us bogged down in life. But before I go to that, I want to look at another verse in Psalms, the 96. Because I'd like for us today to look at, sometimes when we read this Psalms 40, we will think about when we got saved. But I want to tell you that he wants to lift us out of some things even after we're saved. Troubles that can come our way. Psalms in the 96 and 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And it goes on down in 6 through 9. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. You know, for us to be able to recognize that song that he puts in our mouth, it's a song about who he is and how he has helped us. That's where we sing those songs about joy. It's not about something that I was able to pump up in myself. It's about what he was able to give me. So I want us to think about something now. I can easily take all this and say, yep, I remember the day I got saved and it brought so much joy to me. I've got another song I want us to think about. It says, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. You know, you could sing that, read that Psalms 40 and say, yep, he pulled my feet up out of the miry clay. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never alone. The God of the mountains is still God of the valleys. When things go wrong, He can make them right. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still the God of the night. So we have to think about this. I have to myself. What is my song when things go wrong? Is my song like the country music? I can only think about all the things that I have lost in this trouble that I'm in. Or can I see that God is the one that is still in control of it all? And here's a story that I thought of. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. I wonder if David had a mountaintop experience when he was standing on Goliath after he had knocked him out and then he cut his head off. I have overcome this problem right here. And when he heard the women singing, Saul killed thousands and David has killed 10,000s. Boy, you know how that can make you feel like I'm on top of the mountain now. I've got joy. I've got my feet on the rock. But you know, there's a place over in things can change and the same person can be down in the valley. 1 Samuel 30:4 tells us that while he and his men were out fighting, an enemy came into their camp and destroyed it. The Amalekites came to the town of Ziklag. They destroyed it, burned it with fire, and took all the people, his families. All the families were taken and gone when they come back. You know, they're tired from out fighting a battle, and you're always thinking, if I can just get home. I thought about the trip from Germany. If we can just get home and get to our bed, it's going to be wonderful. Well, when they pulled up, there's no town there. There's no people there. And all of a sudden, they go from a mountaintop experience to down in the valley. To the point that it says in the 4th verse, they wept. These are men now. This isn't just women crying. There's no women there. They're gone. These men wept until there was no more power to weep. They just cried themselves out. What are we going to do? And it says they even came to the point that they started talking of stoning David. Time to kill him. It must have been his problem that caused us this. What did David do? You know, he had a mountaintop experience when he killed Goliath. But here he's facing this. He doesn't have anybody to encourage him. What does it say about that? David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what? We can do that when trouble is all around us and it seems like there's no support coming from anywhere around us. Everything that I had been able to lean on in the past, it's gone right now. He encouraged himself in the Lord. That is having our feet on the rock. So I'd like for us to think about it like this. The old record player, you get to choose what record you put on it and what songs you get to listen to. And you get to sing along with it. It's your life. Tomorrow when you get up and something happens that you were on the mountaintop and now you're in the valley, you get to choose. Will I put on the record player that plays my old songs that come to my mind of how terrible life is right now? You ever heard of this word, this term, the molly grubs? I thought there was no such thing as that. I thought that was old ministers years ago that had made up a word. But you know, I looked in the dictionary and that's a word. It says despondent, sullen, an ill-tempered mood, the blues. That's a song. You ever have the blues? We can have it. They call it the molly grubs. There's a song that goes with that. I was thinking about, I even pulled it up. You hear about singing songs that are called the blues. And so I said, well, what are those? It says it's the emotion expressed, and it's generally one of sadness or melancholy. And it's due to problems of oppression and hard times. And those hard times caused me to put out a song. You know, we've been looking at some songs, There Is Joy in the Lord. Now, it didn't say, now check what your surroundings are doing and you'll be able to tell if there's joy in the Lord. In the middle of our troubles, there can be joy in the Lord. So I was thinking about what Joshua said to the people, and I'd like to look at just the first part of it. Choose you this day. You know what? We get to choose tomorrow what's going to be our song for tomorrow. What kind of song? It's maybe not put to music, but it's where do I allow my thoughts to go? What record am I willing to put on tomorrow? Is it the blues? Or can it be that in the time of, I've still got the problems, I may still have the oppression, I may still have the hard times, but is it possible that this coming up out of the miry clay was not just intended for the day that I got saved, but it could be for the day whenever I got so discouraged with everything that was going wrong in my life, and the Lord can come along and pick me up out of that and put my feet on a solid rock and put a brand new song again. And I've been saved for 30 years, but he can put a brand new song in my heart again. And you know what that song is? What did it say it was? It was praise to the Lord. That's where our song can be. Not about, okay, I can't sing unless everything is going right. No, I can sing because God has not changed at all. He is still great. He heard my cry. He established my goings. And he didn't, it's not just the pit of sin. It can be the pit of discouragement that we can get into. I'd like for us to go to Psalms 137. Because how would you have handled yourself if you had been in the times that these people were in? Psalms 137 and 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So this is talking about children of Israel, that probably around Jerusalem they sang some of those songs of how great God was. But now they've been carried away captive. They say, we left our song. We hung our harps on the willow trees. I have no song that I can sing. The world is looking for a song from me, but things are going bad. What do they even mean trying to ask me to sing a song? And I read some of the commentaries. They said, well, maybe they were making light of them. But you know what? Possibly they just had heard those songs and had a real respect. There are people out in the world that can hear saints singing and say, I really appreciate that song. Would you sing it for me? You know, these people were in a place where they said, I don't have anything to give you. If you get me back to Jerusalem, I could sing a song again. How does that apply for us today? It really applies. Because what I can say is I've got a song if everything is going well for me. But you know what? The Lord wants us to be able to say, you know what? I'm a captive in a foreign land, but God didn't leave me. He's still here with me. I still have a song. There is over in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, he said, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking of you. It's 29 and 11. It's thoughts of peace to bring you to an expected end. You know what he was talking about? These people had been taken captive. The children of Israel had been taken captive. And he tells them in the fourth verse, don't just blame it on the Nebuchadnezzar, those of Babylon that did it. I did it. God says, I'm the one that caused you to be taken. You remember Jeremiah, how many chapters of Jeremiah he was pleading with them to turn around before trouble comes to you. There was a time when his message changed to them. He said, it's too late now. It's coming. Trouble is coming to you. But what I want you to do is yield yourself to it. Just go ahead and go. You're going to be there for 70 years. There's going to be people that tell you you won't be there for 70 years. There's going to be some prophets that tell you you'll only be here 2 years and we'll be going back. He said, don't listen to them. He said, you're going to be here for 70 years. Did he say, hang your harps on the willow trees? You read that in 29. It says, build your houses, plant your vineyards, raise your families, and also do one more thing. Seek the peace of the city where you're living, because it's in this peace that you're going to have peace. You know what? In the middle of our troubles, I believe the Lord wants us to do the same thing. Here's where he's got us. He will take me out of it as soon as he sees fit. 70 years is a long time. You know what? Daniel was in this captivity also. Did he lose his song? You know, it's amazing how Daniel was. The things that happened to him that should he should have had nothing to give to anybody else. He was able, when he went to the lion's den, to come out of that saying, O King, live forever. The very thing that has put me in all this trouble, you can continue on. When he prayed, after he heard there should be no more prayers prayed unless you will, or you will go to the lion's den, and he prayed again, it said he gave thanks. Now, what would you give thanks for? You're a slave. You're about to go to the lion's den if you keep praying. You know what I think what carried him all the way through that time? Because my understanding is he never came out of captivity. He died in captivity. But you know what? It did not affect his peace. He was able to thank the Lord because the Lord didn't stay in Jerusalem when they were brought captive. The Lord was right here with him, talking to him, bringing dreams to him that the king could not even remember. You know how valuable that is? To be able to, this king says, everybody's, all these folks are going to die because they can't tell me the dream. And Daniel says, I tell you what, give me a little bit of time. There's a God in heaven that can tell me what your dream is. You know how that would be if I were the one that was responsible for telling him what his dream was? I'd be watching his eyes. I hope I've got this thing right. I'm going to know in just a little bit. Daniel knew this is what God has given to him. And you remember, I can almost see the king when Daniel starts telling him, this happened, and the king's eyes light up. Yep, that's it. Go ahead, go with. You know what? That's because God was so close to Daniel while he was in captivity, while these other folks had hung their harps on the willow tree, you take me back and I'll have a song, all right. You know what? I think it applies to us today. We're going to have some troubles come in our life. We're going to make decisions if we're going to hang our harp on the willow tree or if we're going to do like Daniel and say, you know what, I'm a captive in this land, but God is with me. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. He's here with me. He will walk with us through this time. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he wanted it gone. You know, there are any of us that say, I like the affliction that I have. I like the trouble that's in my life. I'd like for it to stay. No, we don't do it. In fact, I don't ever ask the Lord to send trouble into my life. It seems it comes on its own. So what do I do when it comes? What did Paul do when it came? He went to the Lord just like I would. You know, the Bible tells us, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I get to tell him exactly how I would like for it to be. Lord, I'd like for you to do this step and then this step and then this step. But we've got to end it. If we're going to have peace, if we're going to have a new song, we're going to have to end it with, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Or when it doesn't go my way, there won't be a song for me to sing. And if it is a song, it's going to be more like the country song. It's going to be a despondent look at all the things I've lost in my life. What song did Paul have when the Lord, three times he asked him, and then he realized the answer's not coming? An answer came, all right, but the answer I wanted is not coming. But what he got was, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I've got grace to take you through this. Did Paul say, I tell you what, I have labored for you so much, I'm through? No, he didn't. Look at the places. 2 Corinthians, I'd like to look at just a couple of them before we close. Because this is when he has gone through all the trouble that he went through, and now he's faced with this difficulty that's going to take him the rest of his life. And 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now here's something to look at. Possibly the trouble that comes into my life could be my very salvation. This thing was going to keep him from being exalted above measure that nobody else has ever had a revelation like I just had. And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So now Paul has a decision, and he made it quickly. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. I take pleasure in infirmities. You know, he had enough of them too, but he was able to deal with them. When I am weak, then am I strong. And other places, 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Here's what he has to say about all the troubles that's coming to him. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How was he able to see that trouble that would follow him the rest of his life was but for a moment? Well, he had just had this vision of paradise that no one else had ever been able to see. And I believe he kept that vision in front of him for the rest of his life. That he was able to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, when I've got my feet on the rock, my goings have been established. Here's the new song that I can be singing when trouble is still around me. I understand something. This life is but for a moment. If I'll go through this in the way the Lord would have me go through it, there is an eternal weight of glory waiting for this, for me. And one more verse in Romans 8 and 18. Because he was able to see out in the distance. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time here on one side, and if you get the list of how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was stoned, how many times he was beaten, he took them all on this side and he compared them over here. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If we can make heaven our home, it's going to be worth it all. So let's watch what our song is. You know what? We control what the record is playing. We have the power to take it off and put another one on by the Lord's help. What we heard in Sunday school this morning, I believe, is very valuable. The Lord's not expecting me to do it on my own. In fact, he would like for me to call on his help, because then I will come back and I'll thank him for it. I'll take no credit for it when he has helped me. But if we could realize we can replace those negative thoughts, those negative songs that want to start playing in my mind, and I'm not talking about just the country songs that are being sung. I'm talking about the negative thoughts that the devil would want to bring to us that'll play themselves. We can replace it. Even praises unto our God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, and we will have success at that time. Appreciate all that the Lord has done for us as a congregation. I'll tell you what, we are blessed as a congregation this year, because there's been some serious troubles come to us, and yet we can have a song. You know what, Sister Maxine, with all the troubles that came to her, she still has a song. She still has a message that the Lord speaks to her and she can share with us. You know, David came into such a dark time in his life. His wives are gone. His family's gone. Everyone else's family is gone. It's a very dark time. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can do the same thing. Want to make heaven our home? I desire your prayers.